1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic leave it late at Dundee but move 10 points clear with 8 to play. Rangers fail to win for a fourth consecutive game as Kilmarnock leave Ibrox with a point, and Andy Robertson could miss Scotland's trip to Kazakhstan despite trying to get his own flight. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Rarely, if ever, can a team have gone 10 points clear at the top of the league with a performance as average as the one Celtic delivered at Dundee. But it ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's what gets results. And perseverance had its own reward for Neil Lennon. If Celtic beat Rangers in their next game, the league is over. There comes a time when arithmetic has to give way to pragmatism. A 13-point lead with 7 games to go means that you'd be insulting your own intelligence by saying that Celtic could be caught. But if Rangers win, arithmetic is back on the curriculum. Only 14 sleeps to go until D-Day, Alec.
Yeah, absolutely. Celtic ground out the 3 points yesterday. Rangers, on the back of a horrendous week, dropped more points in the title race, Gordon. But the big winners at the weekend for me was Accies. It was such a big win for them too. Go 7 points ahead of St Mirren.
It's 1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight, so do it quickly. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. Of course, Scotland are off to Kazakhstan. International week begins, and a bit later on tonight, one of my favourite things we've done recently, your chance to win £500 in cash tonight with the Stove Centre Glasgow, and a bit of story time with Hugh Keevans. Did you have good fun making this?
Oh yeah, terrific. There I am, Alec. I've got the smoking jacket on. I've got a cat on my lap. I'll say no more. And I'm sitting beside a wonderful stove, getting a good old heat and telling some stories from footballers' biographies. And that's the whole point. I didn't tell the stories. These are footballers telling the stories I am reading from their biographies.
That call will be revealed a bit later on in the show, but in the meantime, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Most recently would be the Celtic game yesterday, Hugh Keevans. Yep. And I think you're right. I think most Celtic fans will agree it certainly was not a vintage performance. But we're probably at that stage of the season where you start hearing things like, you know, that's what champions do, and yes, grinding out wins and winning when you're not at at your best. All these types of phrases tend to matter at this time of the season.
The essential difference between Celtic and Rangers is that when it's 1-1, Rangers somehow find themselves incapable of coming up with the winner. When it's 1-1, Celtic go right to the wire, as they did against Hearts in Neil Lennon's first match. Odson Edouard popped up with a goal there. Hibs in the cup, second half performance from Celtic was what did it for them. Against Aberdeen, 0-0. Now, if it had been a second 0-0 in a row, I think that questions might have been asked by some of the Celtic supporters. But they hung in, hung in, hung in, and again, Odson Edouard come up with a goal that takes them 10 points clear. And that's why I say, Gordon, if Celtic go 13 points clear, then even I, the arithmetic teacher, would have to say no, Celtic can't be caught then.
And that's it in a nutshell for Rangers, Alex, yep, because no one's doubting that in many of these games that they're having possession, they're having territory, they're having sights at goal, but they don't seem to have quite the same knack of getting over the line.
It's about grinding out results. You touched upon it there. Hearts, Kilmarnock, Dundee scoring very late goals. And it's a mentality, Gordon. They have this ability to win at all costs. You don't have to particularly play well. You mentioned Rangers have a lot of territory, which means absolutely nothing unless you can convert that territory into goals. And that's where they've struggled for me, Rangers. They've really struggled to be ruthless, clinical, when it really matters. And when you look back over that poor, poor week, the defending at times was horrendous.
Neil Lennon says he's focused on the points and not the performance in yesterday's win at Dundee. The Celtic boss says his celebration after the winner came down to relief and emotion.
You're not always going to rule over teams. Teams who are fighting for their lives, for their livelihoods, for the position in the league. And Dundee fought like Trojans, like warriors, defended great, made it very, very difficult for us. There are times when we can play better, but I'm not going to analyse the game right now. The most significant thing is the objective today was to win the game. We've done that. We've gone 10 points clear, we've done that. And now we can
assess things in the next 2 weeks and get some bodies back. For 5 minutes, we got a bit desperate at the end where we started hitting straight balls into the box, and it was very unlike us, but we changed the shape. We wanted to go to, you know, back three, get the wing-backs high and wide and try and stretch Dundee a little bit. But our final ball, our final third entries went great, you know, at times. And they were a little bit pedestrian at times as well. But, again, it's not for today. It's for another time. Well, it's a relief. It's emotion. It's the importance. It's not easy coming in at this stage with the way things are, following in shoes and then taking on the reins of a totally different sort of style of play that you're not used to, in a different environment at the training ground, different players. So I've had to do it sort of bit by bit. And what you saw at the end was just relief, you know, of getting the win and then, you know, having a chance to, you know, take stock of things again and hopefully get more accustomed to the players and then get accustomed to me.
0141 951 1025. Let's do it. Stephen's a Celtic fan in Lark Hall. Hi, Stephen.
Evening, guys. How you doing?
Not too bad, Stephen. What's your take on yesterday's game?
Straight off the bat, I'd actually 2 points I wanted to make. First, about my own team, as you've asked me. And second, I tried to do it the weekend after the Rangers thing to reiterate something I said at the start of the season. As for yesterday, obviously, fan, overjoyed. 10 points, it's a nice wee gap. It's given us a bit of breakwater. Puts the pressure off for going into the game against Rangers at the end of the month. Wee bit slightly concerned, a wee bit annoyed, I think, that the performance was flat. It was laboured. There was real energy, no real ball, albeit there was loads of shots. I thought that Dundee defended very well, made a game off it. I'm just eager to get out into the international break, get a recharge of the batteries. I saw Lennon was talking about fatigue and mental fatigue and whatnot, so hopefully can refresh the players, get them mind back on the game, and then go through to the end of the season strongly. So that's my first point.
Yeah, let me put that to the guys then first, Stephen. Hugh, how much do performances matter in the context of Neil Lennon's suitability for this job? Does it matter if he just gets the results and gets over the line? Is that all that counts? Or will people start to look at the nature of the performances and judge his suitability for the role?
Two-sided coin, Gordon. He's got to win the title. Otherwise, there is no job for him. So results are vital. But I also think that performance is crucial as well. The Celtic supporters have had 2.5 years of bliss under Brendan Rodgers, where 7 trophies in succession were won and that the football at times was captivating. The Celtic supporters will understand that Neil Lennon can't just assume the responsibility and everything will be as it was. There is a knock-on effect from Brendan Rodgers leaving as suddenly as he did. But performance is important to the Celtic supporters, and I think they'll be looking at the Rangers game and wanting a performance. Of course they want the result. Of course no pressure has been taken off Celtic at all going into that game. Alec will tell you, pressure does not come off when Celtic play Rangers or Rangers are playing Celtic. The pressure is there historically. But the point you make is the right one. Results and performance, important for Neil Lennon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key thing from the Celtic point of view was to get over the line. Neil Lennon would be desperate to do that. I think that was part of the celebration as well yesterday, the emotion. Showing the Celtic fans, it's not as if he needs to be endeared to them. They love him, the homecoming and all that. So when he's going down there, he knows what he's doing. Hugh touched the point on Saturday about the addition. It's all part of it all. You know, you can down and celebrate with the fans. But, you know, you have to also look at the performances as they come in as well. If that continues over the period, that will most certainly come into the Celtic board reckoning at the end, because they're obviously having to go again next year. But, you know, the thing is, it's still early days. And I think Neil touched upon it there when he said that he was getting used to the players and the players were getting used to what he was looking for.
Stephen.
Hi, guys. I just want to reiterate, with regards to Rangers, I came on, I think it was a day after Stephen Gerrard got appointed, and I had a very strong opinion on it, and I stick by it, and I think I've almost been proven right. So I came on the show and says that he was an absolute shot in the dark, a major gamble, a roll of the dice that was going to backfire tremendously. And from what I've heard from fans that I know that are friends and on the radio, it's quite clear that he's not got the credentials to do the job. As Hugh rightly pointed out, Gordon Dale, Mark Wilson, he's an operating coach with no experience whatsoever. Stephen Gerrard, in my opinion, has been shown up for what he is. And until we talk about learning on the job, remember Neil Lennon was fired into his first major job with Celtic. And the amount of pressure that was on him was huge. I can't ever recall someone getting as much backing as he had. Lennon didn't have that. Now, I think what he was brought in for was a shot in the arm. He was a marquee name to try and get fans to buy into something that was never going to happen. He's been a success in terms of financially. He's brought them some money. But his record, when you break it down, okay, I heard them, Alec, and he'll mention, I'm sure you will, they're second. So, yeah, they have improved in that sense. But in the eyes of Rangers fans, in reality, they haven't improved at all, because almost point for point, regardless of where they are in the league, they are no better. 1-1 against Celtic, a very poor Celtic team, and I must say, they deserved that victory, but one result against Celtic and a quite fortunate run in the Europa League, it's not good enough for Rangers fans, good enough for him. And that is all he's been brought in for. He's been brought in for a wee shot in the arm, wee bit of money. Football-wise, he's no got it.
Well, Stephen, hold on a second. You're having a long and prolonged dig at Stephen Gerrard. The situation is this. If Celtic take a 13-point lead over Rangers, then, as I say, you're insulting your own intelligence by thinking that anyone other than Celtic will win the league title. However, if Stephen Gerrard should go and have a second successive win over Celtic, then we're back to a discussion on the matter. Having said that, you are from Lark Hall. You know what rivalry is all about. And it's as simple as this. If Celtic get to 8 in a row, Stephen Gerrard will begin next season at Ibrox. But if Celtic win 9 in a row, my belief is that Rangers will not gamble on Stephen Gerrard as manager if Celtic get 9 in a row. And then we all know what follows that, the holy grail for the Celtic supporters. So, yeah, it's his first season of management. It hasn't gone as well as Rangers had hoped. That's an understatement. But he will be there next season. And next season is the big one for him.
Stephen, you mentioned about Stephen Gerrard. I think you said the appointment had backfired spectacularly. Now, I don't think anyone would doubt that if it stays this way or it gets worse, then you're right, he hasn't managed to overtake Celtic, hasn't managed to win anything. Is that backfiring spectacularly, or is it just not quite been good enough?
My prediction, I'll tell you right now, I don't believe that Stephen Gerrard will make it out at the end of next season. I totally understand what you're saying. It's his first season. He learns on the job, okay? Rangers fans want the league, okay? Now, in my opinion, it's going to be a procession this league, regardless of whether it's a loss or a draw. Because Rangers might be able to turn up for one or two games, but they ain't got it in them to do it to the end. And I think you'll find that Stephen Gerrard will not be sacked. Stephen Gerrard will, quote, leave by mutual consent. And the reason I say that is it's detrimental to his going forward to manager, his big name, to fire him. And it's detrimental.
Stephen, that line you're on is very wonky. It's been doing it all day, and I'm struggling to make you out. I do get the gist of it though, Alex. Yep. So let me put the point to you. Stephen said the last thing we heard clearly was talking about being lucky to make it out of
next season, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, listen, I think it's fair to say that depending how the tail end of this season goes, my understanding is that Stephen Gerrard will be backed again in the summer with serious money, because he's talking about quality of decent marquee signings. They don't come for nothing, Gordon. So my understanding, what I've been led to believe, is he will be supported again.
I suppose the worry would be that he has been backed already, hasn't he?
Absolutely, Gordon, he had to be. It's interesting because Stephen makes a valid point there. He says Neil Lennon went in back in, I think it was 2010 time. You know, there's some really decent players back then, Stokes, Samaras, you know, Joe Ledley, these type of guys. So they were all international footballers. Stephen Gerrard came back in last year and needed a total overhaul. So the whole circumstances were different. And I take on board at that time Rangers would have been competing as well, so it would have been neck and neck. But this is a totally different thing from Neil Lennon getting into a team that was actually established. This team he's took over this year needed backing, and he'll need backing again this summer just to try and close the gap.
Frank is a Celtic fan in Springburn. What did you make of yesterday, Frank?
Yeah, I've got three quick points to make. I want to talk about the hysteria about the running goal. Now, there's a lot of Rangers supporters going on about corruption and all this nonsense, and also the Dundee supporters calling Bobby Madden a cheat. Now, there's two teams on the park, right? And whether the referee was justified to add 6 minutes or not is irrelevant. He did so. Now, there's two teams on the park, and Dundee also had 6 minutes to try and score a winning goal, and they almost did in the 95th minute. Now, if Dundee had scored that goal in the 95th minute, before we did. Would it be corruption then? Would the Bobby Madden be a cheat? Would there be the same overreaction? I don't think so. I think we know the answer to that one.
Listen, Frank, I agree with you. We'll take it point at a time. Don't worry, Frank. I agree with you that 6 minutes is there available to both sides to score a goal, and Dundee squandered their chance and Celtic took theirs. But the use of the word corruption, you know, if supporters are shouting, hold on a second,
people,
Frank,
I'm not using that word. I'm trying to see that other Frank, people have done so.
Frank, you have just used the word.
No, but to be fair, he's not accusing anyone of that. So
no one has brought up corruption other than supporters, and supporters shout these things. But you didn't hear it from Jim McIntyre. You didn't hear it from anybody in the Dundee hierarchy. You heard it from fans, and fans shout these things in the depth of their disappointment. But we'll leave that one there. Your point is quite right. 6 minutes is available for both sides to score.
What about the performance, Frank?
Well, the performance was abysmal. Shocking. We looked as if we had 11 snails on the park. Or 10 snails. The play was that slow. The attitude of the players that actually alarmed me, because they looked as if they didn't give a monkeys if they scored the goal or not. And then all of a sudden we just create a wee bit of magic and we score the winning goal.
I would step in there, Frank, just at point number two. You can't say that players don't care, because they persevered until 96 minutes and got the goal. They weren't good. They were bang average. They were slow, but they persevered.
But it didn't look as if the goal was going to come, and then all of a sudden he goes in the back of the net. Anyway, can I make a point about Neil Lennon?
Yes.
I don't want him as manager next season. I didn't even want him manager this season. I don't want him. £9 million we got for Rodgers. That money should be invested next season to get a top quality another manager in the door to get us to 10. I don't think Lennon's capable.
What if he lands the treble, Frank? Would you agree that if he manages to land the treble, then it would be quite spectacular if he didn't get the job?
I don't want him to get the job.
I know that, but I'm saying if he wins the treble, do you,
would that help his case?
Can you see your wish coming true? Would he get the job if he wins the treble? That, I suppose, is what I'm asking.
I think he will. Yeah, I think that was the aim all along, to give him the job, because he's a cheap option. But I think the vast majority of supporters want a bigger name. We want another Brendan Rodgers, if you like, with somebody that will do better in Europe.
I'm always told when I say something Celtic supporters don't like that I can't speak for the majority of supporters. And Frank, with the greatest respect, neither can you, because there are tens of thousands.
I don't think he's pretending to, though, is he?
No, but
Frank's just telling us he doesn't want Neil Lennon.
No, he said the majority of supporters don't want Neil Lennon. So Frank can't know that. I can't know that. It's for Peter Lovell and Dermot Desmond to take that decision.
Thank you to Frank in Springburn. Stephen Gerrard had a lot to say after the game at Ibrox on Saturday. We're going to hear from him after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here to take your calls or read your tweets at Clyde SSB. Lots of them coming in. Blair McMillan says Celtic have had a number of performances like yesterday. We're still without two centre-halves, no Rogic, Christie and Cham. And Michael Hall says not every performance under Rodgers this season was bliss, Hugh. Just look at the away record. The self-entitlement in some and lack of respect for how hard it is to beat teams is a lot of what's wrong with the outlook on our game up here.
Well, I still say that the jury is out. There's an addition taking place, and the performances as well as results are important for Peter Lawwell, for Dermot Desmond. So it's all part of the whole.
Did you just say that Celtic's away performances have been great this year?
Well, Michael said it. Yeah, said their away record this season.
Yeah, I think they're actually sitting at the top of the away form guide at the moment, Celtic. So although they probably expect to get more, they're still sitting at the top of the tree.
It's 01419511025. Stephen Gerrard says they probably did enough to beat Kilmarnock on Saturday, but says they killed themselves with the way they conceded. He says it was a frustrating game and a disappointing result.
I'm disappointed with the result and dropping another 2 points. Can't get away from that. Defensively, we've conceded a very poor goal. That's obviously give Kilmarnock a huge lift, and then the game becomes even more frustrating and even more difficult for us. But I felt like the reaction from going a goal down, the players have done everything they can to get back in the game and probably done enough to win the game. But I'm very disappointed in the goal we've conceded. And then from that moment, you know, Kilmarnock do everything in their game plan, which is to waste time, to chop men down and foul and keep fouling, and it becomes even more frustrating. But the performance weren't far away from being okay and good enough to win the game. But the reality is we haven't, so we have to take the criticism on the chin. I felt like we deserved the equaliser. There was one team trying to play football, trying to create, trying to build, trying to do all the right things that you should be doing on a football pitch. And I felt like we deserved the equaliser. We had a couple of interesting opportunities after that. You know, Davis is in a good area and he doesn't know whether to cross or shoot. And then Defoe gets in with a chance. You think maybe it's the time. We've had some free kicks in decent areas on the edge of the box. We've had a lot of set pieces. We've crossed the ball. We've tried everything we can to do enough to win the game. But we kill ourselves in the first half because two of our defenders decide to stay high and two drop off, and we concede a very poor goal. So the job became even more difficult from that moment.
Two things to consider, Alex. The 90 minutes in itself, the performance, where it went wrong, and then the slightly bigger picture. Four games without a win for Rangers, out of the cup and now 10 points behind in the league. So what did you make of the game itself, first of all?
I think Rangers are really struggling against teams that have a low block, Gordon. I think the manner in which they lost their goal was consistent with the last couple of games. You look at Aberdeen in the midweek with a sloppy ball within a couple of minutes. You look at the week before as well against Hibs. The manner, they had a 6-4 in their favour and losing goals far too easy. It's given people, our opposition, a platform to dig in, to counter-attack. Now, Stephen Gerrard's right in what he says there. You know, they responded well, but they could have been two down when Alan Power had a 1-1. They responded in the right manner in the second half with Alfredo Morelos. And you have to say that without his goals this year, I'm not exactly sure where Rangers would be. You know, it could be a horrendous season, but the fact of the matter is, as he continuously bails the team out, they are struggling to come to terms with teams that are, as I said, that are really defensively solid. And I think that's where the marquee signings, the match winners, the guys that can change the game. But I think that's what they're crying out for at Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen Gerrard, the only point I would take issue with him over is to talk about the robust nature of Kilmarnock's play. For me, that was a deflection tactic to take away from the score, the implications of the score. And you cannot tell everyone that Kilmarnock didn't entertain and were overly physical when your goalkeeper's running half the length of the pitch to confront a referee and getting booked for it, and when Conor Goldson has a foul on Kilmarnock's Liam Miller that is a red card all day long. Nothing to do with the nearest Rangers defender and whether a shot would be got off on goal. The tackle is simply a red card tackle.
Robert's a Rangers fan in Stirling. What's your take on all this, Robert?
I've been sitting listening to you boys. Thanks very much for letting me through. How are you doing, Hugh? How are you doing, Alex?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I'll tell you my question. I've got a question for you guys, but before I ask you my question, I'd like to clarify it with one thing. I would love to see the Celtic board giving Neil Lennon the job. The reason being, that means that next season Celtic will be taking a step back and Rangers will be taking a step forward. I'll clarify that. Neil Lennon is not as good a manager as Brendan Rodgers. Everybody knows that. Neil Lennon's team will not be as good a team as Brendan Rodgers. Everybody knows that as well. Even your Celtic supporters know that, going, wait a minute, Stephen Gerrard's not going to be a rookie manager next season. He'll have a season under his belt, learn from his mistakes, learn some of the Scottish game, knows the kind of players he needs to bring in. He's already started building his Rangers team. He's already got players earmarked for coming in, like Jones and others for Liverpool. But I'll tell you now, I would like to ask you gentlemen, Neil Lennon's Celtic team against Rangers, Stephen Gerrard's Rangers team, who do you think next season will win the league? Because the Celtic wouldn't even do 9 in a row, never mind 10 in a row. I would love Neil Lennon to get the Celtic job tomorrow. The board should put him in place, say he's going to be the new Rangers, new Celtic manager. Give him the job. Well, then Rangers will have a good chance. The gap will have closed even a wee bit more next season.
Robert, have you any idea how bad Hugh Keevans is at predictions and you want him to call who's going to win next season's title? But right, I mean, go, you know, give it a bash if you want.
Robert is like the two Celtic supporters who preceded him. They are firm in the knowledge that they know exactly what is going to happen here. None of us know what's going to happen, And this promises to be a quite eventful summertime, because so many players will leave Celtic and Rangers. Others will have to be brought in. Celtic have money which on a scale that Rangers do not enjoy. Therefore, who knows who Celtic might bring in? Because if the fans are desperate for 10 in a row for Celtic, then of course that goes for Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell. So we'll leave aside who will be the manager, because that's up in the air, and that's for Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell to decide. But the summer could be spent by Celtic signing players for a level of money that Rangers can't match.
I think one of the things for me, Gordon, is in terms of the personnel that's actually leaving Celtic in the summer. You know, you're going to lose guys like Boyata. You have to replace them. And as you've seen with Rangers this year, it's extremely difficult recruitment, and it's a bit of a lottery at times, because you're not quite sure how people are going to settle and how come they're going to make out kind of impact they're going to make. But to predict next year is just like madness. That's like Mystic Meg stuff. But we can only go on the season we've seen so far. For me, there has to be a real improvement for Rangers as well to compete again next season. So, you know, from a Rangers perspective, they have to up their game.
You've been forecasting a bit, Robert. What about this weekend then? Let's talk specifics about what you witnessed at the weekend. What did you make of it?
Well, I watched the Rangers team at the weekend, obviously, and they did deserve to win that game. The goal they gave away was just a joke, let's be honest.
Is that a concern for you, Robert? You know, because the thing is, I looked at the Hibs game when there was a 6-4 in Rangers' favour. I looked at the Aberdeen game, particularly the second goal. You know, it was a misplaced pass for the first one. The second goal, the boys travelled 60 yards and the centre-halves are dropping off. So I think there's a confusion in that back line as well, where players are dropping off and they're trying to step up at the weekend again. So there's a lack of cohesion at the moment for me.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but that's where I think Steven Gerrard will learn from that. He's just, remember, this is his first season. Nobody realistically thought Rangers were going to win this league. A rookie manager coming in and winning a league that Celtic's dominated for seven seasons. I don't think so.
No one in the show actually predicted that, you know, that they felt as if Rangers would challenge this season because of the state they were in last summer.
Robert says that next season Steven Gerrard will learn and that therefore those mistakes won't happen, but you can learn from week to week at the moment.
Absolutely.
And you're saying these things are repeatedly happening. Your esteemed colleague, Mark Guidi, on Wednesday night's show said, in his opinion, he would still vote for Alan McGregor as player of the year, I think is what he said, but he felt his performance levels had also dipped recently. Would you go along with that?
Well, I think if you look at the weekend, I think Alan got caught in no man's land because of the poor defending player straight ball through. So I think at the weekend, but in his general overall performances, I don't really see a massive dip, Gordon, in terms of he's actually caused anything, or, you know, he's not getting to particular shots. He's been relatively consistent for me. In terms of the player of the year, then
we'll get to that. That was just to set up. Andy's a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how's it going? Just before I go on to my point, I couldn't agree more with my fellow Rangers fan there saying about Neil Lennon. I said this on Twitter a couple of weeks ago when Lennon came in. Lennon coming into Celtic again is like signing for Rangers, in my opinion, because he's nowhere near the level of Brendan Rodgers. Everybody knows that. So, I mean, I can't agree more with the guys just come on there. My point is about this 10-point gap. Hugh Keevan summarising his intro tonight, it was all, Big Daddy Johnson says, ifs, buts and maybes, right? 10 points, 24 points still to play for, two Old Firm games still to come. Now, ifs, buts and maybes, I'm going to fling mine in as well here. If Rangers win their two Old Firm games, it's 24 points. And the way Celtic are playing just now, I can see them dropping points. They get a questionable 6 minutes added time yesterday to score a goal that was offside. They didn't play well, and this is against the bottom team as well, Dundee. So I can see Celtic dropping points, not just at the Rangers games, but in other games as well. I mean, the split comes, they're playing the top six teams, so it's going to be harder as well. They're going to play Dundee's and St Mirren's and people like that, teams like that. And I don't think I'm not ready to fling the league in yet for this season. I really aren't.
Andy, if you had listened properly to what I said at the start of the programme, I said that if Celtic beat Rangers and went 13 points clear, you would owe it to your own intelligence to say that they couldn't be caught. However, I added, but if the gap is reduced to 7 points, then arithmetic is back on the curriculum.
Yeah, they're sort of agreeing. Andy, the only thing, let's go through a couple of that. You made a number of points because you were basing this, you said, on the way Celtic are playing. You know, you can see them dropping points. You mentioned Rangers beating them twice. The obvious comeback is the way Rangers are playing. Can you see them beating Celtic twice?
Well, yeah, I can. We blew Celtic away in December, right? And that was against a Brendan Rodgers team, right? And then we came back. We had the winter break and we came back. We were in the momentum. We came back and we actually, well, okay, let's face it, we got beat after Kamarok. And we've not really kind of kick-started our season again after that winter break. A couple of good results, a lot of goals been scored in the last couple of few games before the Aberdeen game. And then we can still kind of stop again. I don't know. We just need a bit more consistency.
Yep. But you're saying if you beat Celtic twice, that will change everything. And then you say that you lost to Kilmarnock after beating Celtic. And I would point out to you, Hibs won, Rangers won, Rangers won, Kilmarnock won. It's not Celtic you have to worry about. It's the other teams.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to highlight there. I think one of the key things, and you just touched on, and Hugh did as well, I think the problem that Rangers have at the moment is consistency. And they're having far too many draws. And when it becomes a very tight kind of game defensively, they have to try and break down. They're really struggling to do that. Hence the reason why they've probably drawn so many matches this year. I don't think they've lost as much as they did last year, but they're just drawing far too many games. So even if they manage to beat Celtic, the problem they have is come up against Aberdeen, Command that they've struggled against, you know, Hibs will probably be in the top six. So they have to find a level of consistency, and even if it's not the performance, grinding out results for me.
Andy, did I hear you say the Celtic goal was offside yesterday?
Well, it was actually somebody on Twitter saying, was a Celtic supporter as well, said that did anybody notice that our goal was offside? So I didn't actually watch the game, but
so let me get this right then. You didn't see the goal, but it's offside because somebody on Twitter said it was offside.
No. I didn't watch the game live, but I seen the highlights, and when they cut the ball back into the
Edward
score, it was offside.
When he cut it back, it was offside.
Yeah, I mean,
it can't be offside if you cut it back.
No, the point is that cut it back was offside.
All right,
oh,
James Forrest.
James Forrest.
Right, okay, is that something you saw, Alex?
James Forrest went past a Dundee defender in order to cut the ball back. How can he possibly
left,
be offside?
He left the boy Woods, who went to ground, and then he cut it back. It was a perfectly weighted cut back, and it was a really good goal. But you know, you look at some of the defending at that point where you're into the 96th minute and they're trying to play out for the edge of the box, and it's ultimately cost them.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you to Andy and Alexandria. Let me tell you about this, though.
Clyde One. The Cash Register. With wholesale domestic bathrooms. Service, style and value that'll get you talking.
Yes, it is the final week of Cash Register and it started with a winner.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Hiya, Olga. He's just won £23,803.17.
Oh my God, seriously?
Hugh Keevans, Aaron and Olga, his other half, 24 grand.
Wow. Right.
On its way.
Aaron, Olga, I'm here until 8, but I can come up after that.
Listen, it could be you. George will reveal the next cash amount at 8 a.m. on tomorrow's Bowie at breakfast. To enter, text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. It is £2 plus your standard message rate. You must be over 18. The full terms and online entry are on our website.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. If you head over to our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB, you will see Hugh Keevans dressed a bit like Hugh Hefner. He's got the smoking jacket. He's got the cat. I think it's a fake cat. Let that be clear. Animals were harmed.
No. Let me tell you, the cat, you switch the cat on and off.
Right, okay, I think we'll leave that there. He's at the Stove Centre, Glasgow. So he's in front of the fire's roaring in the background, and he's giving us a dramatic reading from a famous footballing autobiography. It's as ridiculous as it sounds and more. So head there at Clyde SSB and check it out. And a bit later on, we're going to be giving you the chance to win £500. Wow. By guessing whose autobiography he's reading from. So we'll get to that a bit later on. Back to the phones just now though. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to John in Parkhead. Hi, John.
All right, how are you, Gordon? All right?
Yep, good, John. What's your point tonight?
No, I was just listening to the Celtic fan. It was Frank. He certainly didn't speak for me as a Celtic fan. I would love for him to get the job. I'll tell you why. He's been here before. He knows the game inside out. He's already won three titles. And when you look, he's talking about, I think it was a Rangers fan, I know, talking about putting Brendan Rodgers against Lennon's teams. See, Lennon's team at its best, I thought we'd wipe the floor with a Brendan Rodgers team. Just take the Barcelona night. No, I mean, that was a good team we Lennon had there. And Lennon's record in Europe was probably better than Rodgers's, if you look at the two records together, you know. And a couple of Rangers fans as well were talking about they would want Lennon to get the job. But they keep on talking about Gerrard doing well this season because of Europe. Well, Lennon's record in Europe was better than Rodgers's. So...
I'm sure you'll agree, John, that there are practical matters to be dealt with. Neil Lennon must win the title. If he doesn't win the title, he doesn't get the job. It's as simple as that. Also, if he pulls off a treble-treble, it would strongly enhance his case, I think. So football matters and the way Celtic play...
Could you really have a situation, Hugh, where he wins a treble-treble and doesn't get the job?
Is that
even a remote possibility?
Listen, this is football. Anything's possible. But I think if he got the treble, having taken over under the circumstances in which he did take over, the shock, the drama, the sudden nature of Brendan Rodgers' departure, I think if he won a treble, he would be morally entitled to the job.
Can I get back in for a quick question then, Gordon?
Yeah, on you go.
Right. To Alec and you and yourself, I suppose, if you want. Well, Neil Lennon's best team against Brendan Rodgers' best team. Who's going to win?
An impossible question.
Come
to
on,
answer.
Give it a go. We like a good hypothetical.
Listen, you know, I don't get where this is going because Brendan Rodgers won 7 trophies in a row. The Celtic supporters were anguished by his departure.
So is your answer Brendan Rodgers' team then?
I think Brendan Rodgers' team of his first season would have beat Neil Lennon's team if you must play this hypothetical game.
Alex?
It's very difficult to say, Gordon. You're talking about two different periods in time. I think one, if you just want to talk about Europe, clearly Neil Lennon's got better results within Europe because they beat Barcelona. But if you're talking about trophies delivered, trebles are surpassing what Neil did. So if it's trophies you're looking for, you would say it was Brendan Rodgers. And if it was a European run, then you would obviously go for Neil.
Yeah, that's what I'd probably go for. You know, but see the fact that we're debating it and saying it could be close, I don't think Neil Lennon, if he is behind Rodgers as a manager, I don't think he's that far behind Rodgers, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know, Brendan's gone. I mean, it's not about would one of Neil Lennon's teams have beaten Brendan Rodgers'
team. Yeah, but to be fair to John, he's just responding to those Rangers fans who've said, brilliant. Yeah. You know, Lennon's in and Rodgers isn't. So John's actually just trying to put his case that he doesn't think that is a bad thing.
He supports Neil Lennon, and good for him. He's come on and pledged his support to Neil Lennon. Now we have to play some football games, and Neil Lennon has to get the title over the line. And if a treble is part of that, then I think he does get the Celtic job.
Okay, thank you to John in Parkhead. We'll leave that one there. 01419511025. Still time to squeeze one more in before we go to the news. We are also on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Jack McLaughlin is on. He says, I know I'm going to get stick for this, but I wouldn't start Edouard or Forrest again for the Glasgow Derby. He says they both have been off the boil for a while. Burke and Hayes would play for me. Edouard has proved he's a super sub and can come on if needed.
Well, Edouard didn't have the best of days yesterday. That's an understatement.
He's done well against Rangers over the piece though, hasn't he?
But again, Alec, we're talking about since Neil Lennon took over, who's been his main man? Edouard, with 2 late goals. You know, he looked at times yesterday to use that wonderful old football saying as if he couldn't have trapped a bag of cement. Mm. But he comes up with the goods. He did it at Tynecastle and he's done it now at Dens.
Just before we take another call, the game at Ibrox on Saturday, there was that flashpoint at half time, wasn't there, between Kirk Broadfoot and Alfredo Morelos. The pictures are quite clear. You can pretty see that they've both played their part.
Yeah.
Kirk Broadfoot with the old rake in the studs down the back of Morelos' heel. Morelos turns around and reacts. Will that be it? Is this one that you think we'll hear more of from a retrospective position, or will that be it done with?
Not for me either. I think both were at fault, and I know there's always a rush to have Morelos dealt with, and he is his own worst enemy, and the trouble he's brought upon himself is well documented.
He didn't bring that on himself over the weekend.
No, I think that's where Hugh was going.
And that's the whole point. Kirk Broadfoot, for me, was as guilty as he was. But for me, that's the end of the matter.
Okay, let's squeeze one more in. Craig in Cumbernauld. Hi, Craig.
Hi there. Hi, panel. How are you?
Good.
Good, thanks, Craig.
Yeah, well, it's funny, obviously. But before I make my point, I wanted to quickly ask the guys, being for Cumbernauld, I've not had a chance to ask this. What did they make of what happened to, I know it's a bit off topic, but what did they make of what happened to Clyde? Do you think that was a fair decision by the...
All right, yeah, we're going back a couple of weeks here, Doctor. Dock those points.
Yeah, I think the very fact that two Clyde directors offered their resignation to the club in the wake of what happened tells you that they were accepting liability. I think the hierarchy let down Danny Lennon and let down the other Clyde players. But when you offer your resignation, you know that you've been party to something that was an administrative error.
I think there's also been a precedent set before, Gordon, where, you know, there's been a similar thing where points have been deducted.
Well, Hearts got 2 points off in the League Cup. So that's the sort of closest comparison we have from recent times.
But if you take that 2 points plus the 4 points at Clyde's, there seems to be the way that they're actually going to go about this now if there is this similar scenario going forward. It's very unfortunate because, as we said in the show time after time, Danny Lennon's doing a great job at Clyde.
On you go, Craig.
I do agree with the guys there. Agree. Marlon told me it was, I don't think Alvin Rovers and Queen's Park should have just been handed 2 points.
Right, from the games that they played against them.
Yeah, back on the topic anyway, the discussion about Rangers and Celtic today, you know, firstly, the performance of Rangers on Saturday wasn't good enough. You know, why Alan McGregor is way out past his 18-yard box, I have no idea. He should need business being that far out. He had, I think it was Katic, was following the runner anyway, so he could have made a tackle, or at least if McGregor's in his line, he could save that.
I'm going to get that line cleaned up a bit, Craig, because
just to go back to Alan McGregor then.
We
got that point.
Yeah.
Alan McGregor now, for me, seems to suffer a weekly rush of blood to the head. And he's created a situation whereby, having already been booked for running out to confront a referee, he can't do anything about McElhinney coming in on him. So he raced from his goal in a way that Steven Gerrard found perplexing. And then he can't touch the Kilmarnock player. Otherwise, he's going off. And he's powerless to prevent Kilmarnock from scoring the goal.
I know you were critical of the defenders, Alex. But Craig does make an interesting case. I mean, Katic was there. I mean, if McGregor's on his line and Katic is as close to the Kilmarnock attacker as he was, it probably doesn't happen. So I know you were blaming the defenders, but there's clearly a lot of blame on the goalkeeper as well, isn't there?
Gordon, the two centre-halves tried to push up, which allowed a straight ball, a simple straight ball, right through the heart of the Rangers defence. Then, on the back of that, two bad decisions by the centre-halves, you then have a goalkeeper come out. I said at the time on Saturday, when we seen the footage, that Alan McGregor had made a mistake because he didn't get there. So that allowed the boy to skip round him and hit it into an empty net. But it all stems... I always go back to when you're watching football, is you have to stop it at source. If the two centre-halves drop off, Alan McGregor doesn't come off his line. Once they make the decision that it's a poor decision to step up, Alan McGregor comes out, and that in turn is also a bad decision. So, you know, there's two bad mistakes. I think that's one of the reasons why Steven Gerrard is exasperated with the level of defending he's seen, because it's so easy for teams to score at the moment.
Craig, we're running out of time, so I'll let you back in. Make it brief if you can, please.
I think I've boys are spot on about the defending. It's been shocking for a long time at Rangers, but I think just like with Hugh, some of the comments that you've made over the weekend, like, I have total respect you, Hugh, and your opinions, you know, and I do enjoy listening to you, but I think the fact that you've been calling that, you know, Goldson should have been sent off, but defending Kilmarnock for some of the tackles they were making, I mean, it wasn't just, you know, tiny tackles, they were wiping Rangers players out, hacking them every time they hit the ball in threatening situations, and Kirk Broadfoot handballs it, should be a penalty. He had a few challenges in there, and then at half time he's raked Morelos in the back of his heel, and no even so much as, you know, received a booking.
Okay, just quickly, because we are running late, do you think that was a handball, the Kirk Broadfoot one?
No, for me, no. It caught the back of his ribs, just at the back of his back, for me.
And I've also said, in answer to Craig's point, I have said that I don't think the Broadfoot Morelos incident should go any further, because Broadfoot is the instigator and Morelos has fallen for it. But if we're going to send off players every time they clash like that, no players left.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
My apologies, I did say we were running short on time, and we very much are, so you're going to have to be quick on this. 0141 951 1025. Call us now if you want to play against Hugh or Alex at Beat the Pundit, because you only have until the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here with me, Gordon Duncan. Looking back on a busy old weekend for Scottish football, Rangers stuttering at home on Saturday, Celtic eventually taking advantage on Sunday. It's 10 points at the top, and that's what's dominating most of the calls so far. We'll get back to that, but I want to hear your thoughts on Scotland heading to Kazakhstan as well. Andy Robertson missed the flight, dental surgery, Hugh Keevans, of all things. Insert jokes here about this show being like pulling teeth and so on. We'll just skim over that. He's going to try and get his own flight, maybe. And we'll see if he makes it there.
It's a 5,000 mile trip to Kazakhstan, and I know he can afford it, but it would be a dramatic gesture if he did that. He is one, Andy Robertson, that I would believe implicitly. I think there are a few others that have ducked out of this one, but I believe him implicitly.
Anyway, let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time. We're being really generous on tonight's show. Not only your chance to beat the pundit, a bit later on your chance to win £500 as well. Stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, Mark Sweeney is a Celtic fan in Kilsyth. He's up on Beat the Pundit tonight. How are you, Mark?
I'm fine, yes.
Fancy your chances tonight?
Always.
Always. I love it. I love it when they come on and talk confident. Let's toss the coin. Heads, you're up against Hugh. Tails, it's Alex Ray. And it is heads. Hugh Keevans up against Mark from Kilsyth. So let me give Hugh some Clyde 2 and make sure that he can't hear us. Mark, you've got 30 seconds head to head with Hugh. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
I'm ready.
Who scored Celtic's winner at Dundee yesterday?
Edward.
What nationality is Rangers' Nikola Katic?
Croatian.
Who was the manager of Scotland until 2002?
Barry Fox.
Who was the last English team that Derek McInnes played with?
West Brom.
Which suite is the kit sponsor for Morton?
Millions.
What city in Kazakhstan will Scotland play on Thursday?
Karagandy.
What is the name of James Forrest's brother who plays for Ayr?
Mr. Forrest.
I like it. Let's see what Hugh Keevans can come up with. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
You ready?
Yes.
Right, same set of questions to you. Let's do it. Who scored Celtic's winner at Dundee yesterday?
Edward.
What nationality is Rangers' Nikola Katic?
Croatian.
Who was the manager of Scotland until 2002?
Craig Brown.
Who was the last English team Derek McInnes played with?
Bristol Rovers.
Which suite is the kit sponsor for Morton?
Pass.
What city in Kazakhstan will Scotland play in on Thursday?
Astana.
What is the name of James Forrest's brother who plays for Ayr?
James. Ed Allen. Allen.
Oh dear. You know I have to accept your first answer, don't you? What do you think, Mark, now that you've heard the competition?
I don't know.
It's close, isn't it? I think so. Right, let's go through and find out how close. Who scored Celtic's winner? A nice easy one to get us off and running. Odds on Edward. 1-1. What nationality is Nikola Katic? He's Croatian. 2-2. Who was the manager of Scotland until 2002? It was Craig Brown, Mark. Hugh got it right, so he moves into the lead 3-2. Who was the last English team Derek McInnes played with?
Millwall.
It was Alex's old favourites, Millwall. So still 3-2 to Hugh Keevans. Mark equalised though. He knows his confectionery.
Millions
is the sponsor of Morton. Never had Millions?
No.
I'll get you a packet for Friday, don't you worry. Right, Millions. So Mark equalises. What city in Kazakhstan will Scotland play on Thursday? It's Astana. Hugo's back in front. End to end stuff. And then it means it's all coming down to this. What is the name of James Forrest's brother who plays for Ayr? It's not James, funnily enough. It is Alan, but I had to accept your first answer. And Mark, the producer, is shaking his head. Mr. Forrest is not going to cut it. So I think Hugh Keevans has pitched you by 1-4-3 to Hugh Keevans. He's celebrating in the studio, Mark. Hard lines.
No problem.
Good, well, Mark. That was Mark and Kilsyth. A good effort. I enjoyed
absolutely
that. End to end stuff.
See, this first answer, Lark, you know, I think you should allow a person a slip of the tongue.
Are you joking? I think you should get points deducted for St. James. That was horrendous. Right, anyway, packet of millions will come in your way on Friday.
I don't even know what are they?
Well, luckily for you, they're not chocolate, because we covered off here that you don't like anything chocolate.
No.
So that's fine. They're sort of fruity, chewy, little
tiny.
Right.
Sweeties. That's what you need.
Sort of. Anyway, we'll get back to that. 0141 951 1025. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. And this perhaps sums it up, Hugh, because these tweets came in about 30 seconds apart, both from Celtic fans, okay? Uh-huh. First one, Gary. Neil Lennon's unbeaten over a period where Rangers haven't won a game against three top six teams, the business end of the season, to all but secure the league. I don't think his appointment is much cause for Rangers' celebration. Straws clutch, he says. And Scotty says, no matter what Neil Lennon wins or not, his football is eye bleeding. Most Celtic fans have short memories. Lennon left for a reason. He was out of a job when Celtic got him. Red fans saying that we're lucky to have him. Really? So there we go. 30 seconds apart. Two Celtic fans.
I think in fairness to Neil Lennon, with regard to the situation when Brendan Rodgers left the club, it was Celtic's good fortune that Neil Lennon was available. We all know the circumstances of his sudden departure from Easter Road, but can you imagine the situation where Neil Lennon wasn't available? And then, you know, then where would Peter Lawwell have gone? So I think he should be given credit for picking up a very heavy responsibility, a league that was not yet won, and in the immediate aftermath of Brendan Rodgers' departure, which had shocked the Celtic support to the core.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need to get in touch tonight. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. So let's go back to the phones, shall we? What have we got here? John Paul is a Celtic fan in Fauldhouse. Let's try and speak to him on the line. Hi John Paul.
Hi mate, how's it going?
Not too bad. What's on your mind?
I was just a wee point. I'm listening to the start of the show, you know, and I've come on and criticised here, you know, for no batting Rodgers or whatever, but I think they're in a wee bit of a catch 22 now. You know, yesterday I've heard people talking about bringing in Neil Lennon, not being the right man for the job. I think everybody's got to remember Neil Lennon was brought in, he was about to go on holiday, he was brought in under the circumstances of winning games, and that is it. No matter how we win it, he was brought in to win games, get us 8 in a row, and possibly a treble. Now, he has done that. He's done that regardless of his last minute on a couple of occasions, or there's been some city performances. So I think a wee bit of a stick is over the top. Do I think he's the right man for the job? I don't know. Do I think Celtic could have a better pair of hands now? No, and he still knows some of the players that, like Forrest, that have worked under him there. And I think, relatively, if you look at the teams he's played, Hibs away, Hearts away, Aberdeen, albeit Dundee yesterday, it was a very, very poor performance. I think he's done reasonably well, and if somebody says to you, you would have took 10 points out of a possible 12, bearing in mind that Rangers hadn't been that consistent, and Aberdeen, another team that they kind of put on a run, they winning 4 and 5 games in a row and tallying up 12 points or whatever it is. So I think he's done relatively well, but just my point is, what did the board do? Did the board go for something? I've heard names like Marco Rose and Robert Martinez, you know, they need to come in. It's hard enough in the summer as it is. Celtic need to do an overhaul. You look at Michael Lustig, Izaguirre, Benkovic, Boyata, Ware, Buck, all these players that are out of contract or on loan and need to go back to a parent club. Do they say to Neil Lennon right now, listen, you're going to get the job, or do they wait and then have a very, very busy transfer fee, transfer summer, which Celtic are renowned for doing. They're not renowned for being a great transfer summer. I mean, that was last summer and January and in the summer before wasn't great. So I think the board on the catch 22, but I think they really need to apply something for now. I want to know what people think of that.
The honest answer to your question, John Paul, is that only two people know the answer to what's going on: Dermot Desmond, the principal shareholder, and the chief executive, Peter Lawwell. They will wait until this season has played out to see how dramatic a finish it turns out to be, how satisfactory a finish it turns out to be, and they will plan accordingly. So no one knows for sure, and like you have read all the names, Roberto Martinez, Marco Rose, David Moyes, nobody knows what's going on except for the power brokers, Peter Lawwell and Dermot Desmond. So you'll have to wait, and Neil Lennon continues to audition for the job of Brendan Rodgers' replacement.
Forward planning in football can be difficult, Alex, because you completely understand where John Paul's coming from. You like to think that that clubs are able to see into the future and can have things ready for when that time comes. But you, as it stands at the moment, you've got a scenario where Neil Lennon could absolutely romp the league and win the Scottish Cup, which would be obviously the treble, and I know these are major hypotheticals, or one where he stutters to the league or even loses it, which I think most people agree is very unlikely, and doesn't win the cup. So how could you really make any sort of informed decision at the moment?
You can't, but from the Celtic board's point of view, I think Hugh touches upon it. I think it would be I would be surprised if the Celtic board are not looking at options out there just now, Hugh, because you never know how it's going to go between now and then. But Neil Lennon is in pole position at the moment due to the fact that he's in position. So it will depend on what the outcome is of the league, the cup, and then also the performances. And then again, you have to sample what's actually available in the summer. Does it fall under the remit? Do they buy into the model that Celtic are adopting? So there's so many factors, but you have to look at all these options for me.
And of course, you all against the backdrop of a potential exit for Lee Congerton, if John Paul's talking about, you know, yeah, players who's going to need to be signed, and we know, you know, Benkovic will go, Boyata's contract is up, Burke and Weah. We don't yet know exactly who's going to be responsible for bringing them in, never mind who's going to be responsible for managing them.
Well, Leicester City's head of scouting has gone, and I assume, I may be 100% wrong, but I assume Lee Congerton will take that job shortly. And Celtic will find somebody else, whether they reappoint John Park or do something else. It's a big time for the club, but we'll need to wait and see how this league pans out. But you say that Neil Lennon's in the pole position, and I think that's correct. But it's not essential that you have the quintessential Celtic man, because Brendan Rodgers came here and told the supporters all the romantic tales of being the Celtic supporter from boyhood in Northern Ireland. But when it suited Brendan, he dropped the club. So to have that Celtic-minded mentality is not, for me, a factor when it comes to deciding on the appointment. Performances and results are factors.
You've been mentioning director of football there, Gordon. See the current guy, Congerton, that's in at the moment, Peter Lawwell, the people who are actually in position, they will already already signed up here. So regardless,
well, maybe not signed, but certainly planned.
Yeah, but I would imagine that they'd be almost down the road with clubs.
Neil Lennon himself said he had been part of, or would be part
of discussions. So what I'm saying is, there'll be so many things already, plate spinning, Hugh, deals already more or less done, wages negotiated, just already to be signed. And so I think a lot of the work will already be in place.
Rangers supporters know that the most important thing for their club is to stop Celtic winning 10 in a row. Therefore, Celtic must know the importance of 10 in a row to their supporters, and they must provide their supporters with proper signings and the right manager for the job. So it's as important to them as anybody else.
Jim Cunningham's not convinced. He says people keep mentioning Marcus Rose, but he's failed to get his Salzburg team into the Champions League in each of his last two seasons. Chris is in Dumbarton, is a Rangers fan. Hi, Chris.
Hello, panel. Hi.
Hello, what's your point
Thanks
tonight, Chris?
On the show.
No problem.
Hi. Okay, I just want to speak to something that Hugh had said as well. We're talking about Gerrard's progress. As I say, I'm a Rangers fan, but I was involved in all the hype when Gerrard got appointed as the manager. However, there seems to be almost as if he's got a bit of immunity about him because of who he is. Now, there's loads of stats and stuff circulating, you know, about Twitter and Facebook. Now, I actually couldn't believe it. I thought it was a Celtic fan winding me up, and I went and kind of looked at the results myself, and it was basically showing, like, basically out the last four managers that Rangers have had, Steven Gerrard has actually performed worse out the lot of them. Now, for instance, Mark Warburton, he had a win rate of 65.8% and he was sacked. Pedro Coutinho had 53.85% and he was sacked. Graham Murphy wasn't even considered and he had a win rate of 62%. And Gerrard's only got up to last week, only had a win rate of 52%. Rangers.
Chris, just to say though, it's worth bearing in mind, Chris, if you're going to compare win percentages, particularly to Mark Warburton, he was in the Championship for a season, so that of course boosts his win percentage massively. Not saying that makes everything you're saying incorrect, but I'm just saying it's worth bearing in mind.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I understand that, but for me, like, there's got to be a great improvement. I know they're talking about maybe new signings in the summer, but Celtic are obviously, I don't hold hope for 1 minute that Celtic, like Rangers, are going to win the league this year. Celtic are going to win the league. With regards, I don't know whether we can wait as long as another year, you know, for Celtic to potentially get 9 in a row before we start. How far into the season is it going to get if there's going to be poor performances before things get looked at? Because this is obviously something that myself and no other Rangers fan wants to get, is for Celtic to be able to get 10 in a row. I want to be able to go back to work if that happens.
Alex, we're back to that old question of progress. Funnily yes. enough, I think, if my arithmetic is correct, going into the weekend, Rangers were 1 point better off
than they were this time last year.
Than they were this time last season. So there we go. They obviously picked up another point. So you know, they picked up another point in the weekend, if you like. We're still there or thereabouts in terms of league performances. It just depends how much you want to factor in Europe, how much you hold the cup record against Steven Gerrard. We've seen a whole array of takes on this in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, I think it's really difficult to gauge, Gordon, in terms of, because in the cups they've been abysmal, you know, in terms of, you know, you've managed to bring Aberdeen down in the cup, the first one to Hampden, and failed, and then at home getting them back to home for a replay and the manner which out. So you'd have to say that was a major failing in that point of view. The last week has been massive for Rangers, Hugh, because it's ultimately came to all these questions. What is the progress? And it's all ifs and buts. They clearly haven't done this. If Rangers had beaten Aberdeen last week and they could have negotiated the odd win and still kept at the same points, nothing had changed. But last week has literally battered them. And for me, there has to be significant improvement. We can't tell how much time you give to next year, because if you take it up till this winter break there, Rangers were level points with playing the game more. So, you know, from that point of view, you're saying, right, okay, if it's similar next year, you'd be relatively happy. Uh-huh. But since the turn of the year, the lack of consistency has been alarming. And I think that's one of the key things for Steven Gerrard. He has to go on a run more than four games, Gordon.
I mean, Hugh, Chris is right. We've all seen these stats on social media. Steven Gerrard's win percentage at the moment is something like, you know, 1 point something percent worse than Pedro Caixinha's was. I don't know how strongly people feel about that. You would also take into account, I guess, that Steven Gerrard played in Europe and Pedro Caixinha didn't. Therefore, there were more games that they were likely to not win that wouldn't add to the win percentage. You tell me, how much do you read into that sort of thing?
Life has speeded up. If stats were all that mattered in this world, Man United would have sacked Alex Ferguson and would never have had 27 glorious years under him. But the world has speeded up, and now people want instant decisions. For me, and this is hypothetical, but Celtic win the league, 8 in a row. The pressure on Steven Gerrard is cranked up. If Steven Gerrard in the first half of next season looks as if he has lost pace with Celtic, there will be a clamour for his head and for someone else to come in and try to retrieve the situation. That's the world we're in with this 10 in a row business.
Chris, final word to you.
I was just to say, do you actually think if it was any other manager but other than Steven Gerrard, that people would actually be calling for his head now, I think?
I don't think he's been saved by his reputation as a Liverpool player. I think if you...
You don't think it was easier to criticise a Pedro Caixinha than it has been Steven Gerrard?
Because Pedro Caixinha made a fool of himself. You know, he started off in Luxembourg making a fool of himself, standing in the shrubbery, shouting at the Rangers supporters. So he was on a downward spiral almost from the word go. But old-fashioned guy that I am, I had a look at the newspapers today, and every leading columnist on our sports pages was having a go at Steven Gerrard and his record. He's not being given diplomatic immunity. He is getting it as tight as any manager in this situation would get it.
Okay, listen to this. This is important. You like that, Hugh Keevans? This is you.
Dancing.
This is your big intro. Now, every night this week, we're gathering round the fire for story time with Hugh Keevans and the Stove Centre Glasgow. Now, Hugh is about to share a few wise words from the autobiography of a famous footballing figure. To be in with the chance of winning £500 in cash, all you have to do is tell us whose book Hugh is reading from. It could not be simpler. You ready for it?
I decided this man could not be trusted an inch. I would not want to expose my back to him in a hurry.
There we go. And
is that
for an extra clue, please go and watch the video. We've just posted it on Twitter at ClydeSSB. But if you know who that is, give us a call right now. 0141 951 1025 and you could win £500 cash thanks to Stove Centre Glasgow. One more time for you.
I decided this man could not be trusted an inch. I would not want to expose my back to him in a hurry.
There we go. £500 could be yours. 0141 951 1025. Be quick. You only have until the end of this break.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Evans and Alex Ray are here. We're about to get the full time teaser up and running, but a bit of extra fun for you all this week. Honestly, you can't beat it. Listen to this. Honestly, any excuse to play that music, I'm all for it. Hugh Evans has been reading us some story time with the Stove Centre Glasgow. We've been asking you to give us a call and tell us whose book Hugh is reading from, whose autobiography, and if you get it right, you could be in with the chance of winning £500. You will win £500 if you get it right. So the lines are now closed. Let's go straight to them and find out who our first contestant is. Paul in Shettleston, how are you, Paul?
No bad, Gordon.
Now I'm going to play it one more time for you, Paul. Are you ready?
Alright,
let's see if we can if I can find it. There we go.
I decided this man could not be trusted an inch. I would not want to expose my back to him in a hurry.
There we are, Paul. Thanks to the Stove Centre Glasgow, you are right up front with the chance to win £500. If you get it right, the money is yours. Whose book is Hugh reading from?
I think it's Alex Ferguson's.
Oh, are you sure?
I'm guessing, aye.
Who's he talking about?
Stang.
Hugh Evans, you were the one that read it. Is he right?
You are 100% correct.
Well done, Paul and Shettleston. £500 on its way to you. How does that feel? That's an easy for an easy night's work, isn't it?
Good for a Monday.
Absolutely.
Good for a Monday.
Can you take Hugh Evans out for a glass of red?
Aye.
That sound good? Good man. That was Paul and Shettleston.
Really?
I'd be happy with that. £500 for that.
Yeah.
Happy days. And I'll tell you what, see, just to make this even better for you, go to at Clyde SSB or Twitter feed and you can see the video of Hugh Keevans reading it. He's at the Stove Centre Glasgow, so he's sitting there. He's got the fire roaring behind him. Mm. He's got the smoking jacket on. He's stroking the cat. It's a fake cat, though. I think we established that earlier on. And he's given us a dramatic reading from this autobiography. He's going to be doing it all week, by the way, thanks to the Stove Centre Glasgow. So same time tomorrow, we'll play the clip again, a different clip obviously, and your chance to win £500.
Alex, just a matter of time before the BAFTA is awarded, I think. I shall enjoy.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Honestly,
yet, no.
It's ridiculous. It's more ridiculous than it sounds. And not to give the game away, but see that quote tonight, "I decided this man could not be trusted an inch." That's very tame compared to some of the other quotes we've got on reading.
Right?
Oh yes.
There's a bleeper had to be used.
Oh, we had the bleep machine. Well,
lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, stay tuned all week, and we'll tell you a bit more about that as the week goes on. Let me quickly get the teaser up and running for you though. Paul Lyons has sent this in tonight. Six players that have played for Jose Mourinho and have played for Celtic or Rangers. Very simple. Six players that have played for Jose Mourinho and have played for Celtic or Rangers. You're only looking for six. Have you any off the top of your head?
Is Charlie Masonda?
Nope.
No.
Silence. All right, I'll give you some thinking time. We've got Crawford, who's a Hearts fan in Florida, on the line. Let me hear from Peter Grant first, because I think that's going to tie in with what Crawford is on to speak about. Peter Grant says Andy Robertson is eager to face Kazakhstan. He hasn't travelled though with the Scotland squad because of a dental issue. The Scotland captain was told to stay behind to get treatment on an abscess, but Grant says he's not ruling him out just yet.
Big blow. We were prepared for it, obviously, before the game on Sunday. We knew he was struggling a little bit, but he wanted to play. And the way he is, he's still desperate to play and he's still trying to get himself back out here as well. And that's the way he is, you know, and that's the way you've selected his captain. But it is a blow for us because he's a fantastic player. But we've always said, because we've always spoken about Kieran and Andy, you know, who's going to play here and who's going to play there. And I said, the beauty is we've got two fantastic players and you're never always going to have everybody fit. So this is an opportunity again, you know, that the team has to be adjusted a little bit. But look at the quality you're talking about. It can come back into play if he's fully fit. As I say, he's going to see what his tooth problem is today and then we'll take it from there. How big it is, Does it knock you out? You know how toothache is one of the worst problems you can probably have. But, you know, he's so determined to be part of it. He wanted to come out last night. I think he showed that flying up yesterday straight after the game, how desperate he was to be here. But when he got checked out, it wasn't obviously possible for him to do that. But as I say, he goes through that today. We'll see how he is later on, and then we'll take it from there. We'll see how bad it was. If it was anybody, probably Andy Robertson, you know, you would say, yeah, he's no chance. But knowing the way Andy is, if he thinks he's got a chance, there's always a possibility, you know. And but as I said, we don't rule him out. We won't rule him out anyway. If it was possible, him get here and they said, oh, it's not as bad as we thought, I know what Andy would be saying to him. I want to be over there then.
It's a loss, no doubt about that. This is the quality fullback. It's all very well solving your problem of who to play, Robertson or Tierney. But his loss is significant at a time when we've lost far too many players. But Kazakhstan rated 117th in the world. It's a long old journey, 5,000 miles. But we ought to be able, even on a synthetic pitch, to give a decent account of ourselves against opposition who are so lowly.
I mean, we already know how much being the Scotland captain means to Andy Robertson, so you can believe it, Alex. He's going to try. It doesn't look like it's going to be all that possible for the Kazakhstan game, but he still perhaps could join in ahead of the San Marino game. Silver lining, you've got a certain Kieran Tierney to take the spot at left back, but it's still not ideal, is it? On the back of Stephen Fletcher not being involved, on the back of Ryan Christie being injured, Ryan Fraser not able to play on plastic, same with Callum Patterson. This is not ideal, is it?
No, absolutely. And the thing is, if you're Alex McLeish, after the decent results that he had in the last competition, you would be saying to yourself, it's disappointing that you've lost the quality, Alan McGregor as well, you know. So, it's an opportunity for someone else. Kieran Tierney's more than able to step into the breach, but you want a guy of his kind of mindset, Gordon, in about the place as well.
Hugh's just told us how far it is to get from Scotland to Kazakhstan. I've got no idea how.
I take it back. I said 5,000 miles. I've just looked at my notes. It's 3,500 miles.
I've got no idea how far it is from Kazakhstan to Florida. That's where Crawford is. Hi, Crawford.
Hi, boys. How you doing?
Not too bad, Crawford. What are you thinking ahead of this game on Thursday then?
It's a realistic opportunity to get 6 points on the board on the way to Euro 2020. Now, obviously, I'm wanting to say 2 points first about Scotland, then about Hearts.
Okay.
I'm going to be 22 years old this Thursday. I have not seen Scotland in my lifetime play at a national tournament. I was one when we played in 98. Don't remember it. And I see this as, because we're in the playoffs, the players shouldn't have the fear to go out there and basically do their best. Yes, we've got, I think it's Belgium and Russia in the group.
Yep.
We shouldn't really have any fear to go and play against them and do our best. I just don't think that. I know that Scotland players before, they say about the pressure of not qualifying since 1998. We've now got the playoffs to fall back on. I think this should be a realistic opportunity to get there. And I'm actually really looking forward to it. I think we've got a really, really good chance to actually get there.
I like Crawford's thinking, Hugh, about the Nations League. We're already in the playoffs. Does that change the pressure situation?
Probably not, because so much is demanded of us at a time when interest in the national team, I would reckon, is at an all-time low. And we've got players, I think, who are not showing any
even great... after we topped our Nations League group
and got
to the playoffs.
I think so.
Better than we've done in however many years.
Crowds tell you that interest is waning.
Do they?
And we have to get a consistent run. But I'm more concerned with players who show or do not show the same level of appetite to play for their country as in years gone by. I think players withdraw far too easily now.
Like who?
Talking about managing injuries, Robert Snodgrass, Matt Ritchie.
I think you've got to be careful, because there is always personal circumstances surrounding each and every case.
Well, there are too many players denied Alec McLeish, and I do not detect the same appetite to play for Scotland that was once there.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying you're wrong, just...
It's still an opportunity to get off to a winning start. Kazakhstan and San Marino, Gordon, on the back of the previous kind of couple of positive ones. And if he could do that, as Hugh says there and now, it would start galvanising the Scotland support in some way, because it's exactly what it needs. And it may well actually get some of these guys back. And there will be people out there saying, if they didn't want to join up and go to Kazakhstan, don't bring them back for the next games. But we need most of the best players.
I just always wary of sweeping generalisations. I mean, who said they didn't want to go specifically to Kazakhstan? And, you know, that's the thing I'm trying to get to the bottom of.
No, that, you know, players talk now about injury issues and managing their bodies and so on and so forth. I, in general terms, do not detect the same ambition, the same appetite to play for Scotland that once existed.
Is that just a Scotland thing, though? Is that an international football thing?
Yes, it's international. It's across the board.
Yes,
Gordon,
it's not just us. Yeah. It's a side effect of the game in 2019.
Gordon, when you get guys at 32, 33 now saying that, you know, I'm going to concentrate on club football. Going back to 20, 30 years ago, and when Hugh was talking about, you would never have got that. They would play until it was, they were actually said, it's time to call it a day. Yeah. Things have actually changed and moved on.
I mean, I think, Hugh, you said about, you know, apathy levels or being at an all-time low or whatever it was. I think certainly there have been signs of that semi-recently, but we go, Crawford has outlined it for you. We are now going into a qualification campaign with a playoff place already guaranteed.
Yeah.
What's the reason for all this then, for this apathy? Should we not be a bit more optimistic? The worst we can do is not qualify in this group but get the playoffs anyway.
In terms of the players, the apathy is created by the fact that they value their club careers far more highly than they do any international career. It used to be the greatest honour of all to play for your country. A lot of players simply don't feel that way now. And in terms of the support, the support from this part of the world has dissipated, and has done so for a long number of years. The Scotland support, as far as I can detect, is from out with the west of Scotland in the main.
Do you have anything to back that up?
Have anything to back up your counterclaim?
That what?
That they don't. In the west of Scotland, there are far more people interested in the national team than I have said.
Would you mind telling me when I made that counterclaim?
But you said, how can you back that up? And I'm asking you.
I'm not arguing. I'm not putting the opposition point across. You're saying that Scotland fans don't exist in the west of Scotland. I'm just asking you if you can back it up.
I never said don't exist.
Okay, I'm outnumbered then.
I said numbers are dissipated.
That Scotland fans, by and large, come from out with the west of Scotland. I'm just asking you where you get that from.
Hey,
I'm not arguing.
Go to a game and just listen.
Doesn't sound very scientific, I must admit. Crawford, give us your final point about Hearts.
Yeah, so I was on after the St Mirren game. I think it was like the 26th of February or something. It was Alex and Hugh that both answered my point about basically Craig Levein. Now, just to kind of reaffirm that, that's now been a 2-0 loss at Love Street or whatever it's called now, a draw at Tynecastle with St Mirren. We have been beaten 5-0 off Livingston. We've also lost to Hamilton. We're playing small teams now, and Alex, when I came on the last time, was saying Hearts were, well, he was expecting Hearts to get fourth place. I don't even think we might even get top six any longer. And people, if you go onto Twitter, the majority of the Hearts support now are saying Levein has to go. Albeit we might get into a Scottish Cup final, but that's not going to mask how bad the season's been since November. It's just, the thing is that I fear is that all the supporters are seeing this now, but Anne Budge, she's kind of blinded because when she first came in, Craig Levein was her go-to guy. She admitted she has nothing, she doesn't know anything about football other than being a supporter. And I fear that he is in a position where the support, or the majority of support now, want him to move on, go over to Spain and retire, whatever, and have someone new in place that's going to try and kick us on, because it's the same old, same old.
Crawford, what
happens? And there's a fear that...
Crawford, what happens if he manages to get the Scottish Cup then? Where does that leave you in that point of view? Because for a large part of this season, the four main guys were out the team, as you well know. And I think Naismith's injured again for, 7 or 8 weeks. So if you look at the statistics in terms of with Naismith, I think he had something like 20 wins out of 24 starts for him. So he was paramount to what Hearts were doing. And they still have potential to kick on to fourth. You know, I know they're 4 points behind Kamarnock, but, you know, there's been factors this season that could have hamstrung, you know, Hearts going forward.
Yeah, Alec, I understand that now. Naismith was out from November until, I think it was the late part of December when we beat Kilmarnock. It was Aberdeen, it was his first game back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone goes on about the four injuries. Suter's back, Ekpeazu's back, Berra's back. The only ones missing is Naismith.
Yep.
Now, to me, see relying on one player, and Rangers are the same. clubs of this size shouldn't be reliant on one player. Look at Celtic. Celtic have got Sinclair, they've got Forrest, they've got Edouard, they've got Weir to come off the bench. Now, that's different because they have a bigger scale. But see, to rely on one player, it's not good enough. We're playing teams like your Hamilton, your St Mirren, your Livingston, and we're getting embarrassed.
Yeah,
on Saturday he's played Vanacek, and Vanacek can't trap a bag of sand with his feet.
Yeah, well, Craig Levein,
I just don't get it.
Craig Levein should be no different from any other manager in that results should determine whether he's flavour of the month or due for the sack. The problem that the Hearts have with Craig Levein is that he occupies more than one role within the club. And if results do not perk up and Hearts do not win the cup, then I understand that there will be a clamour for him to revert to the upstairs role and for a manager to come in.
Thanks to Crawford in Florida. We've got work to do in this teaser. Six players that have played for Jose Mourinho and have played for Celtic or Rangers. Paul Lyons sent it in. So they have to have played in a game for Jose Mourinho.
Scott Sinclair.
Yes.
Patrick Roberts.
No. That only one you've got? I'll give you some time to think.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray have about 10 minutes left to get the answers to this teaser. There are only six tonight, but because it's a difficult question. So it's been sent by Paul Lyons to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the address you need if you want to send the question in. Six players that have played for Jose Mourinho and have played for Celtic or Rangers. The only one you've got so far is Scott Sinclair.
I'll give you another Celtic one then.
Go for it.
Carlton Cole.
Oh, good shout, Hugh Keevans.
Mike's teammate. I know Willow likes to do that.
At Wolves, was he?
Yes, at Wolves, yes, just a young lad.
Carlton Cole.
Capuccio.
Porto.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Who's the big bald guy? Willow's, Mark Wilson's pal.
Tommy Gravison.
That's him, big bald dude.
No. Get him. No.
Right, okay. Pedro Mendes, my old pal Pedro.
Yes.
Playing in a wee game with him on Sunday down at Blackpool.
By the way, you're doing not too badly at all. Pedro Mendes, Nuno Capuccio, Carlton Cole, Scott Sinclair. You've only got two to get. There's not a chance that you would have guessed this one anyway, so I can get it out in the open. Paul, who sent the question in, says, note Magnus Hedman only ever made the bench for Chelsea, so I've not included him. Was that on the tip of your tongue, was it? Yeah, sure.
Either that or Magnusson.
Yeah, he's not on it either. So you've got two to get. The clue I'll give you is you've got all the Rangers ones. So these two played for Celtic.
Over to you, Hugo.
Ian is a Partick fan in Bears Den, but he's got Scotland in his mind. Hi, Ian.
Hi there, how are you doing, guys?
Not too bad, Ian. What's your point tonight?
Right, 2 points. Firstly, on the subject of guys not wanting to play for Scotland, I think there's too many guys in the last few years who maybe just approaching the end of their careers and they've been big names, don't want embarrassed anymore, and they just pull out. Scott Brown, Alan McGregor, Stephen Fletcher, the name but three. A lot of guys just seem to use any excuse to get out of playing. Plastic pitches, game manager, all sorts of nonsense. I think that's a problem. The apathy in the game here and the domestic game has not helped either. The standard has dropped over the last 4 or 5 years. It's affecting the international team as well. The fans are getting fed up with the product, both domestically and international. And as far as Scotland supporters, they tend to come from out with the West. I know that for a fact. So I used to go to the games, and I know a lot of Rangers and Celtic fans who have no interest in the national team anymore either.
Did Hugh Keevans put you up to this call?
Nope.
I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Hugh, the point I'm trying to make earlier on is it's the generalising of it all, because Ian, and you may well be right, but let's take Stephen Fletcher for instance, because he's the recent one, and I understand why it doesn't sit well with people. But the point I'm trying to make is this not more a symptom of the modern game rather than Stephen Fletcher's fault? You know, Sheffield Wednesday hold a lot of the cards. They're kind of deciding when he doesn't get treatment. I mean, you only have to go back to the last game. Stephen Fletcher hadn't been in squads. He didn't take the huff. He came. He went to Albania. He plays against Israel. He scores. He leads the line, and we top our Nations League group. So, how all of a sudden are we blaming him for a lack of commitment?
No. You cannot bring this down to one man. No issue in the game is ever down to one man alone. I just think that international football, it's almost regarded, and I'd be interested in Ian's take on this. International football is almost regarded as a pest now. It gets in the way. It stops the flow. You know, people here in this part of the world are simply interested in Celtic against Rangers on the 31st of March. Kazakhstan and San Marino are just a pest.
See if we were topping groups and things, do you think it would be interrupting then? I think it's part of the problem is we haven't negotiated getting to a tournament for so long.
Yeah, if you have 21 years now of non-attendance at the World Cup finals or the European finals, then of course interest wanes and you don't see any bright future on the horizon. And this is the kind of job that Alec McLeish has inherited. And he inherited it with people saying that, oh, you know, you were promised Michael O'Neill and that fell through. You just went to an old pal. And so there's a whole scenario around the Scotland team now that isn't positive. But, of course, we wish Alec McLeish well in Kazakhstan on Thursday and San Marino on Sunday. It's just that at this precise time, and as Alec has said, it's a worldwide problem. International football is no longer regarded in the way it once was.
Yeah, perhaps that is the case for some people. Ian, the fact that we've got this Nations League top spot sewn up, there's a playoff place guaranteed in the bank. Should that not be enough to at least lift the spirits a little bit?
I don't think so. I think the fans think that if they get the chance, they'll probably just blow it again like they've done the last three or four qualifiers campaigns.
Yeah, we've not been in the playoffs for a long time, though.
England don't have this problem of attracting players to play for them. Guys can't wait to play for England and represent them. So to say it's a worldwide thing, it's other nations, not really. Other players, other countries, Wales, the guys can't, they're queued up to get a shirt. Scotland, it just seems to be, I can't be bothered with a lot of the players, but where other teams don't seem to have that problem.
Well, you know, we can only discuss our own country. And at the moment, I detect an apathy. And the apathy spreads from players to supporters. And perhaps you're right, it's 21 years of non-achievement that have created this problem. And the only thing that ends the problem is achievement.
Yeah, but I mean, I just, again, it's all about the generalisations, because Ian's talking about, you know, players, you know, should be queuing up. We've just heard that Andy Robertson is going to try and arrange his own transport to Kazakhstan to play. So you're always going to get some examples.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I think that's one of the things I said earlier on, Gordon. I felt as if Andy Robertson would actually be a bonus for Alex McLeish if he went over there. Purely, he is epitomises what you would want from a footballer. He leads for the front, on and off the park. He's a role model. And that the more array guys you have about the camp, the better chance you have of getting positive results. And for me, I really hope he does make it over there.
Yeah, and I know Ian makes the point about, you know, Wales and whatever, but maybe it's just because we are removed from it. Remember Hal Robson-Kanu, he played in the Euros, scored that. Did he not retire from Welsh action at the age of 29 or something like that? It happens anyway. We'll agree to disagree for another day. Ian is in Bears Den. Thank you very much, Ian. You've still got some work to do on the teaser. And you've not got too long to do it. So the question tonight, sent to fulltime@clyde1.com, 6 players that have played for Jose Mourinho and have played for Celtic or Rangers: Pedro Mendes, Nuno Capucho, Carlton Cole, Scott Sinclair. I told you Magnus Hedman only ever made the bench for Chelsea, so he's not on the list.
I think we need some clues, Gordon, because we're struggling now.
Okay, Chelsea and Celtic.
We established that, I'm sure we did.
Oh really?
Well, I did in my mind. I didn't think there was many Man United players came to Celtic. So for me it's Chelsea
and Celtic. Yep. Scored the Champions League goal for Celtic, I seem to remember. Hope I've got that right. I've not led you down the path with a dud clue. I think he was from Hugh Keevan's the Czech Republic.
Yuri Jarosic.
Oh, there he goes. That was all he needed. A little push in the right direction. Benfica and Celtic. This is the tricky one, because you won't think the time frame fits with Jose Mourinho.
Benfica, so that would have been his first one then, before Porto, wouldn't it?
We're going back a bit. Oofed. Celtic striker in the mid-90s, Hugh.
George Cadet.
Decent era, same era though. He's Dutch.
Pierre Van Hooydonk.
Wow. Pierre Van Hooydonk, well done, you got there in the end. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray, for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Busy show as always. Thank you for all the calls and the tweets. We are back tomorrow, so you can get through then at 6 o'clock, here until 8, in the company of Gordon DL. And it's Fraser Wishart alongside Gordon tomorrow. In the meantime, just stay right where you are, because Callum Gallagher is up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.